Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
Arraez at first, Tatis at third, two away. Here's the 0-1. Arraez takes off, pitches low. Naylor throws down, Fernando takes off. The throw home is high and not in time. Padres pull it off and get the first run of the day on that first and third steal play.
Is there nothing they can do wrong through the first homestand of the 2025 season? That's just one of the many ways the Padres have been beating people. Welcome into Gwen and Chris following a 7-0 homestand. 7-0 to start the season homestand. So we can tell you that that's never happened before. We've never had a Gwen and Chris. What's my name? I'm so excited. 7-0 Gwen and Chris program to start the season. 4-0 had been the record, so they've blown that out of the water. And they are now nearly, actually, I beg your pardon, they're now better than halfway to the all-time Major League record of 13-0. Three teams did that. The Rays did it, I think, just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
The Rays did it. They tied the 1987 Brewers. And I think it was the 1981 or two Atlanta Braves all started 13-0. I have no problem with the Padres, you know, breaking that record. Although I will tell you that none of those three teams won the World Series. I don't think any of those three teams even got to the World Series.
Well, I don't like that.
Yeah, but look, we can think about things like that. They can think about taking a day off, resting their bodies, you know, getting a nice rest in their hotels in Chicago, maybe a little workout tomorrow afternoon, whatever Mike Schilt wants, and then going back to work and seeing what they can do about Shota Imanaga, a very tough customer, by the way, on Friday in game one of the series against the Cubs. They're going to be playing a Cubs team that has scored 60 runs already this season. Now, they played 9 games. They had the 2 extra games in Tokyo, but they just finished obliterating the Sacramento minor league ballpark up there.
Which really makes me feel happy.
I think they scored 18 one game. They scored 10 today. Yep. I think they had double figures yesterday. Anyway, the Cubs are on fire, but they're not hotter than the Padres. So that's to worry about on the weekend. So many things to like. And I don't, you know, let's start with the aggressiveness on the base paths. Let's just start there. Because that play today got the game going, right? I mean, that was a stalemate for, you know, 4 innings. Ben Lively, I thought, had the Padres, you know, off balance with that breaking ball. They're out on the front foot. They're pulling the ball. They weren't getting much done. Dylan Cease, after kind of a, I thought his first inning, he wasn't really ready. Gave up a long fly ball, gave up a couple of hits. But after that, I think he retired 9 or 10 in a row. So somebody needed to break the stalemate. And who broke it? Mike Schilt. I mean, this is what's going on right now. Mike Schilt puts on the double steal. I don't know what Bo Naylor is thinking there. You've got Fernando Tatis Jr. at third base. He's one of the fastest people in all of baseball. You're going to tell me that you're not savvy enough to even glance toward third base? He caught it and just threw directly to second. He didn't even think about looking Fernando back at all. And credit Luis Arraez, who executed the play. It comes down. Look, Mike Schilt can call the play. The players have to execute the play. And that play calls for Luis Arraez to stop. That's what he had to do. And as soon as he stopped, the infielder, I think it was Schneeman, the second baseman.
Schneeman, yes.
Well, the guy, he's from Vista High, by the way.
Oh, I did not know that. Schneeman, so I shouldn't make fun of Schneeman.
I'm not making fun of him at all. I'm just identifying him. But he, I think he reached over, you know, looked at Arraez. But then it's way too late. Tatis is in. So, you know, look, they've stolen 15 bases. They've been caught once. They have been caught trying to stretch singles into doubles a couple of times. Last night, you know how I'd say there's aggressive plays and then there's bad base running plays?
Yes.
Luis Arraez made a bad one last night.
Yeah.
He was on first base with two outs. The ball's in front of him and he tries to go to third. Cardinal rule, never make the third out at third base. Why? Because you can score on a hit from second. And you can also, with two outs, you need a hit to come in from third. So you don't, that's not the place to be aggressive. But the bottom line, keep doing it. You're going to make a few mistakes by being aggressive. You're going to get thrown out by being aggressive. But you're winning games because you're aggressive. 15 steals. You know how many the Guardians have so far this year?
One.
Zero.
Oh.
They don't have any. So, look, you go out, you take the game. That's what base running and aggressiveness does for you. And it also allows you to score 36 runs in 7 games, which is darn near 6 per game. Without really hitting any home runs. They hit, Merrill hit one today. That's his second. They've hit 5 on the whole homestand, and 4 of them were solo shots. Today was the first time they had a home run with a man on base. But it doesn't, they're still finding ways to score because they're aggressive. They're doing things right on the base pass. They're executing. Mike Schilt can only put the play on. Players have to do it. They're doing it. Here's the king of aggressiveness, Fernando Tatis Jr., talking about that mindset.
Kind of talk about just, you know, swiping bags and whatnot.
We have athletes over here, so it's a matter of fact getting prepared, getting ready, and go out there, have the balls to execute, and man, we have been doing it.
Merrill has that big home run today, but what about the little things that he does on a base pass and elsewhere that makes him so special?
He's just a winning player, simple as that. You know, he's going to play in the game really hard. He's going to play the game the right way. And that's why he got almost $200 million.
Does he buy you guys dinner then when you go to Chicago? Like, what, I mean, when you sign a contract, you have to, right?
Yeah, but, you know, he still has, he's not making that big money, so we can wait. We have guys that can take care of that. Meanwhile.
Unbelievable. He's not making the big money yet. He just made $135 million.
I mean, compared to Fernando and Manny and Xander and Darvish, he's not making big money.
He's basically a pauper on this team.
Yeah, Jake Cronenworth now is like the lowest on that list of guys
They put something up there on the TV today about, you know, how long these core players are locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Between Cronenworth and now Merrill, who got, if you didn't know, and you're just tuning in at the end of the day, they extended Jackson Merrill this morning. Big deal. 9 years, $135 million. Jackson Merrill will be a Padre through at least 2035. He's got this year and 9 more after that.
Ugh.
You got Manny, you've got Fernando, you've got Jake, you've got Merrill, you got Bogarts. You got those 5 guys. Every single one of them is a Padre through at least 2030. And I like how people say, well, you got to take advantage while the window's open. Window's going to be open. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've still got Cease. You've still got King. You've still got Darvish. You've still got all these guys. It's what we talked about in the offseason. While they were not out, going out and getting big-time free agents that you wanted and I wanted and everybody wanted, the bottom line was they still had all these guys. They're not going anywhere. And that's a, you know, that's a big deal to sign Jackson Merrill. I would hesitate as a franchise to say, here's a guy that's played 1 year and I'm going to commit $135 million to him. But if that guy's Jackson Merrill,
I don't think
I'd have to hesitate too much.
I'm gonna do it.
He's done everything right. His attitude is perfect. He works hard. He gets the game. He respects the game.
Mm-hmm.
He respects people in the game. And he's only about one thing, and that's winning the game. I don't think he cares. I really, truly don't think he cares about an 0-for-5 if they win. And you can't say that about every player in Major League Baseball. Here's how great Jackson Merrill is. And I'm going to bring up one moment from today's game that if this doesn't underscore the greatness of this guy, I don't know what does. Because while you and everybody else, not you, Scraby, but everybody who listens, okay, while all of you are going to, you know, come home tonight and you're going to say, wow, Jackson Merrill, home run, two-run shot, beautiful thing, made it 4-0, second day in a row. You know what I would tell my kids if I saw that game today? I would say, bottom of the sixth inning, Jackson Merrill on first base, two outs, simple ground ball to third base. Jose Ramirez throws to get Merrill on the force play at second, only Merrill's already there.
Beat it.
He beat the force. I guarantee you, I feel way strong about this. Guarantee you, the rest of the season, you'll be able to count on one hand how many times you see a runner on first base on a regular ground ball. I'm not talking about if it's a play where the shortstop has to go deep into the hole and twist and turn. Okay, the guy may beat it. I'm talking about a regular ground ball to the infielder on the left side. The runner on first is always out at second. It's automatic. They never beat the play. Jackson Merrill does. This is why I would give him $135 million. Not the home run. I know he can do all that. But it's the extra effort and the just the mindfulness of Merrill. He's on first base with two outs there. He's thinking only one thing. If there's a ground ball, somehow I have to beat the play at second. And I'm pretty sure every guy says it, but they never beat it. This you won't see it again.
I was trying to because I was back in the back cutting audio and stuff and watching the game at the same time, and I was trying to see if he left early or if he was on a steal or if
look,
he had a steal play on or something.
Look, it's a two-out play with runners at first and second, so the first baseman's way behind Jackson Merrill. He's not holding him on,
so he
can get
lead.
A very big lead.
But still, it doesn't happen often.
But it doesn't even happen at all. I'm telling you right now, now that I said this, tonight in the Dodger Brave game, somebody will do the same thing. And somebody
and
go,
we're
going to
see it like 150
right,
times
yeah.
this year.
You just don't see it. Guys don't beat the force. And what did that do? It loaded the bases and gave Gavin Sheets a shot with two outs to break the game open. And Sheets hit a line shot to deep left field. The guy caught it.
Yeah.
Fine. What Jackson Merrill did was still, in my mind, special. The home run is a home run. Those plays are what makes this kid stand out, in my mind. And that's not, I mean, he's fast. Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of fast guys that don't beat the force at second base.
No, he's not the fastest guy on the field by any means.
So that's why I love this guy. That's why I'd be more than happy if I had $135 million to pass it along, which the Padres did today. So, all right, we're underway. It's going to be a great, we got a bonus hour. We're going to be here till 7 o'clock. Look. We got to take a bonus hour when the team's off to a 7-0 start.
And a Jackson Merrill extension, there's just not enough
it's
time.
It's been a great day, and it also, I mean, I don't want to get through this first segment because the happiest thing that happened in my world today was that Magoon Gwath announced that if he doesn't turn pro, he's coming back to San Diego State. That was my number one moment of this day, to be honest with you.
Until the
Believe
Padres
it,
went 7-0.
The 7-0 is fantastic. Magoon Gwath, who was basically lost. He wasn't going to be in the program ever again.
I think I would take this news better if it was like he is for sure coming back next
year.
Well,
you can't guarantee it because if he gets something in the pros, in the NBA, he's going to go. That would have mattered where he transferred to. But he's taken himself out of the portal. He is now an Aztec again, unless he goes to the NBA. I have a few things to say about what that really means as the show goes along. When we come back, what I want to do is I want to try to encapsulate this 7-0 homestand. What did the Padres really do in this seven games? What did they do on in the field? What did they do on the mound? We haven't even talked about the pitching yet.
No.
Which has been insane.
The last two nights have been amazing. Or the last five nights have been amazing.
How about all seven games?
All seven. Except for the first two for starting pitching.
They gave up 11 runs in seven games.
That's pretty incredible.
That'll work. All right, so we'll talk about the pitching, the hitting, the base running, the fielding, the managing, the coaching, everything that has made 7-0 a reality. We'll put it into some numerical perspective for you when we come back a little later. My notes on a scorecard, which had become kind of a popular, fun thing.
The Chris Ello notebook.
Here's the Chris Ello notebook. I've got scratching all my notes from today's game.
And I love the gingerbread man on the bottom.
Well, let me get the make sure that people can see
that's
the gingerbread
my favorite
man
part,
on the bottom of
the gingerbread man.
Well, this is not my supposed to be my notes on a scorecard. This is supposed to be my wife's shopping list.
And you've just hijacked it.
Write the shopping list down. But we got all of that. Scraby's got a big five to tell us what else is going on. And so, look, relax, hang out, enjoy this 7-0 start on the home of the team that is 7-0, San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think just even hearing like an opportunity to sign with the San Diego Padres is enough for me, you know, but I also feel like there comes a line where you know your worth, you know your value. Listen, I know like there's contracts out there that are beyond absurd. They're super amounts of money, but having a relationship with a real human being and a real team like I have here, you can't beat that, you know? You can't just sign for $700 million and want everything to be perfect, you know? I got people all around the clubhouse that are supporting me, supporting my family. You know, they ask about my personal life every day, so, you know, I'm just gracious for that, and I know it's going to be the same way for the next 9 years.
The kid has it.
He has it.
He's got it,
oh,
right?
He has it.
Like, I would expect, like, a 35-year-old grizzled veteran to come up with that answer.
Exactly.
Jackson Merrill's
he
got
gets
it already.
It.
He totally gets it, and he's getting the bag. $135 million for 9 years. Padres extend him. Then he goes out and hits a key two-run homer today to help the Padres beat the Guardians 5-2 and improve their best start in team history to 7-0. Chris Ello and Matt Scraby tonight. If you're wondering where Tony is, he's probably a pretty happy flight to Chicago.
I should
there.
Track him.
You're crazy.
I don't know if I can actually track
him. You are
him.
Absolutely crazy.
I don't think I can track them.
Finds flights, and he follows where they are. Like, I feel like when I go with the women's basketball team somewhere and I know you're tracking our flight, it makes me self-conscious that
no,
you're, like,
why?
Watching
you
where
no...
I am in the air.
Because I want to know, okay, well, Chris has just landed. He needs an hour and a half to get there.
But what if I want to lie to you and say that I, you know, haven't landed yet?
Ain't happening anymore, buddy.
No, you're covered. You know what I'm doing. 5:22 is the time. But Tony is on his way to Chicago. He'll be with us for a full 4-hour show tomorrow as the Padres are get their first day off of the season. By the way, Dodgers and Braves are getting started here in about 10 minutes up in L.A. Dodgers are also 7-0. And don't look now, Giants are 5-1. So
National League West.
Three best records in all of baseball. There they are.
Right there.
They're all in the same division.
There's only two unbeaten teams now. Braves lose tonight. The Padres are the only unbeaten team in baseball.
You mean if the Dodgers lose tonight?
Right. What did I say? The Braves?
Blake Snell has lost plenty this season.
Yes,
they're 0-6. Blake Snell is pitching tonight for the Dodgers, by the way. All right, here's a couple of things to just kind of numerically put it in perspective for you.
Real quick. It is the happy hour. It's now time for the happy hour, brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball is back, and so is swim season. Make sure your pool is ready. Call now and mention radio for a free month of pool service.
And don't just let that slide by.
No, because,
GL Pools, people. GL Pools. Yes. Find them online. And free month of pool service. I can tell you that's worthwhile.
Yes, it is.
Having had a pool before.
Yes, me too. And I have been in charge of the balancing of the pool, and I was not good at it because I'm not a chemist.
Yeah, right. You have to be a chemist to take care of your pool. That's a very good point. GL Pools will do it for you. Make sure you talk to these guys and mention the word radio. Get that free month of pool service. All right. Numerically, here's how it goes. Padres, so far, have outscored their opponents 36-11.
Oh, I need some music for this.
Give me a little happy Padre 7-0 music. That's your music for everything in baseball.
I know. This is happy.
That sounds a little happy. I'll go with that. Padres have outscored their opponents 36-11. They're plus 25 in the run differential. That is the best in baseball. Padres are 7-0 with a 1.57 team ERA. That'll work. They have a 0.90 whip. Walks and hits to innings pitched. And in 63 innings of pitching. Now, normally, if you give up about a hit per inning, that's pretty good. A little less. You want to be a little less, you know, maybe a few less hits than innings. Padres, 63 innings pitched, they've allowed 36 hits. Like, not even close to one per inning.
I was going to say, do the math for me.
it's not very many.
Yeah, yeah.
Bullpen had a scoreless streak of 23 2/3 innings. Second longest in team history. It was snapped in the eighth inning today. I want to talk more about that in my notes on a scorecard.
Okay.
But, the bullpen has been brilliant despite the fact that they finally gave up a run today. Offensively, Padres team batting average, .298, third best in baseball so far. OPS, .809 for the Padres through the homestand. Just for fun, the Yankees are leading at .1100.
Oh, wow.
It's early in the season.
Oh, well, that's the torpedo bat effect.
The torpedo bat effect. Thank you. We mentioned runs, 36. That's fifth best. The leader is the Cubs with 60 runs already.
They shouldn't count because they played in Sacramento, scored 18, like you said the other day.
I know. They
scored 10 today.
10 today. But look, my point is the Cubs are, you know, they're 5-4, but they've won 5 out of 7, and they've been crushing the ball. So the Padres will have a little work cut out for them when they get to Wrigley.
Suzuki, I think, has had 3 home runs and 10 RBIs in the last 2 days or something.
He had 2 homers today. Kyle Tucker had a home run in 4 straight games. That was snapped today, but he's been swinging it well, too. So there will be a bit of a challenge. We talked about the Padres, 15 stolen bases already, just 1 caught stealing. That is a percentage that will get it done. Pirates lead the league, though, at 19 stolen bases.
I looked at that today.
Yeah, they're running wild.
O'Neill Cruz is doing a lot of it.
Hasn't helped them win any games, but they are stealing a lot of bases. Here's some good stuff, because we've talked about this so many times. Runners in scoring position.
Oh, remember how many times we had to mention that 2 years ago?
2 years ago, it was a disaster. This year, it's been anything but.
Yeah.
.293 overall, but how about this? Scoring position, runners in scoring position with 2 outs. So you need a hit to score. Padres are hitting .344 in that situation. When they get a chance, they're cashing in. That's how you go 7-0. Padres have only struck out 40 times. This is another thing. They're fourth best in that category. But this is another secret to the sauce. They keep putting the ball in play. And that is what you have to do at Petco Park. We talked about Petco Park hitting. You know that the Padres, with runners in scoring position, are the only team in the top 20 that have not hit a home run with runners in scoring position.
Okay, I did not know that.
They haven't hit one with a runner in scoring, but they keep bringing runners in Line drives, gaps, left center, right center, down the line, swinging the opposite way. Petco Park offense. This is what they're executing so far.
It's almost like their design of how they wanted to approach last year has just been amplified this year, and they are like perfecting it right now.
And one last thing, that those are the numbers for you. If you're wondering, all the, I mean, they're all glowing numbers. That's how you go 7-0.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, music's good. That was great music, though. It really got me excited.
This music?
You just gonna keep it going? Do you have a name of that, or you just, it's a bed that
GC
you found?
GC Random Rotator Bed 3.
Yeah. I was hoping for a name of a, you know, John Tesh Orchestra or
no,
something.
No, I'm not allowed to, see, there. I'm not allowed to use that stuff.
Oh, I see.
Because I have
oh,
to.
Oh, there's copyright infringement stuff?
And YouTube really gets mad when
all
you use
right.
that stuff.
I have a quick trivia for you, and I'm going to ask all of you out there, and I'm going to answer it after the break. Who was the most important off-season signing for the San Diego Padres? Who was the most most important off-season signing for the San Diego Padres?
They didn't sign many.
Don't say anything yet. I want everybody to think that through. Come back. I will give you the definitive answer to that.
Ooh, the definitive.
Yes, I will. When Gwen and Chris continues, we'll also have some fun notes on a scorecard, recap, relive these two victories the last couple of days that have gotten the Padres to 7-0. Also check in on what's going on around baseball. So a lot still to come. Big Five later. Gwen and Chris, a bonus hour till 7 o'clock. Which makes sense because the Pods are 7-0.
Ooh.
Good thing they're not 8-0. We'd have to work till 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and when they go 9-0,
yeah,
we're just going to end up working all day.
We're in big trouble. as Gwen and Chris continues.
Thursday's show is jam-packed. We're going to start with the roundtable. We're going to continue to talk about the Jackson Merrill contract extension, plus San Diego State basketball making moves in the portal.
The Braden Surprenant Show, weekdays from 10 till 2 on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, everybody. It's Graby here for SD Fat Loss.
2-1, and the pitch to Arise swung on, hit in the air, deep down the right field line, taking aim for the Petco porch. Jones is at the wall, this one gonna go! Luis Arise with his first home run of the season, yanks it out to right field, leading off the seventh inning, and the Padres get that run back. It's 5-1.
Even Luis Arise getting into the home run act. Slow start for Luis, 4 hits in the opening series. I'm going to bet that he ends up with about 196 more, maybe more even than that. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris Crisello. Matt Scraby, bonus hour until 7. Tony Gwynn Jr. and the Padres are on their way to Chicago. They'll open a series Friday against the Cubs, and they will open it with a record of 7-0. All right. When we went to break, I said, who was the most important signing of the offseason by the Padres? I don't think it's even close. Honestly. And I think a lot of people were on the right track on the chat, taking guesses.
Oh, okay. You want to hear them?
Give me some of the guesses, and I'll let you know if anybody actually got it right. Don Orsillo, okay,
he
pretty
did
good.
Get an extension.
You know what? And don't want to leave Donnie out of this. He's a big part of everything.
Mike Schilt.
Mike Schilt's obviously a pretty big re-signing, yes.
Ruben Niebla.
Ruben Niebla, okay.
Michael King. That's about it.
No, Nick Pavetta's, huh? I mean, he was a free agent.
No, I don't think we've seen enough of him yet.
Well, so far what we've seen was pretty good.
I got one.
Was it not? Who do you got?
I don't want to be embarrassed by this, but so don't laugh at me because the last time I said Tyler Wade and everybody on the show laughed at me. I'm going to say Gavin Sheets.
Gavin Sheets. They
found a DH.
Big signing.
They found a DH, and they did not have one coming into spring training.
All right. Well, the bottom line is all of those answers are correct. They need them all, and they've all contributed so far. But the guy I was thinking of was Ruben Niebla.
Okay.
I just think that was the biggest deal of the offseason.
It's a big deal.
And I don't want to overlook Victor Rodriguez either, the hitting coach. Look, here's the ironic thing. You know, both of those guys came from Cleveland Guardians.
That's true.
Right? So, you look, keeping those...
I didn't even think about that.
Right. Keeping those two guys has been huge as far as the Padres getting off to a fast start, I think. I you could ask Manny, you could ask Fernando, you could ask Jackson. I think they would tell you, keeping a hitting coach that they trusted right? They trusted him in him last year. The Petco approach, you know, the hitting that, you know, took place all last season. To just continue that this year without having to learn a whole new approach and a whole new style and a whole new idea from somebody else, to me, is one of the reasons why they're off to such a fast start. And Ruben Niebla goes without saying. And once again today, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but I did. In the top of the eighth inning, the game got interesting for a second.
Yes, it did.
All right. Cleveland was down 5-1. They got a run in, okay, on a sacrifice fly. And they had a runner at second base. Next guy up, I think it was Carlos Santana, drilled a single to center. Hit the ball so hard that Ramirez had to stop at third. But now, with one out, Cleveland had first and third. They had the tying run coming to the plate. And Adrian Morejon had given up, I believe, three hits to four batters in his outing and a run.
He's been, yeah.
Do you know who came out to talk to him for just a quick second?
Mr. Niebla.
Ruben Niebla, the pitching whisperer, walked out there. I don't know what he said. You know how many more pitches there were in the inning?
One.
Ground ball to second. Beautiful double play, by the way. Cronenworth to Bogarts to Arise. Inning over.
Mike Schultz said that Ruben was a Niebla's big league big double play.
It was a big league double play. But whatever Ruben Niebla does is perfect every time. Right? He said whatever he said, it worked.
He, you know, when we sat down with him in spring training.
This guy's magical.
When we sat down with him at spring training, you can understand why people gravitate towards him because he has a very welcoming demeanor, and I can see him going out to the mound in a stressful moment like that, and totally saying the right thing or not saying anything at all.
Whatever
doing
he
what
says,
you need to do.
Yeah, and remember we asked him not this year when we interviewed him in Peoria, but last year, and we said, you know, what do you say when you go out there? And he said that's a question he gets more than any other.
It's interesting.
But he said he really didn't have an answer to it because it just depends on what's going through his mind. He also admitted that sometimes Mike Schilt sends him out there, and he really didn't want to go out there because he doesn't have anything to say. And he's thinking on his way out, what am I going to say? But, you know, look, whatever he said today, one pitch, inning over, game over, basically. Mm-hmm. And this is what Niebla does. And, you know, I'm not trying to overlook Victor because the job he's done on the hitting side, those two guys, you know, massive, them coming back. Big part of why I think they're 7-0. All right. Excuse me. Do we have traffic?
We do.
Oh, well, let's. Well, it's Thursday and it's Wednesday and it's drive time and it's San Diego, so we probably have traffic. Let's hear it. All right, some of the notes on a scorecard from the last couple of nights, I think, you know, bring to light things that you may not have noticed during the course of a game.
These are Chris Ello notes.
These are just my notes, random notes that I make while I'm watching a ball game last night and today. And I think, you know, some of them might interest you and some of them you might think, Chris, you are really weird that you even think of this stuff. But last night, I thought one of the big moments in the game, maybe the biggest moment of the game, and I know that Jackson Merrill hit a home run to give them the 1-0 lead. I know that Michael King was insane last night, 11 Ks in 5 innings. I mean, if it was later in the season, he would have gone 7 and he would have struck out 16. I mean, they were not touching him. So, you know, and they win the game 7-0. So it may not seem like at the time, but to me, the key moment of the game last night happened in the bottom of the fifth inning. And these are the things that I love about baseball and good baseball and what's to love about the Padres right now because they're executing all this stuff. Last night, the bottom of the fifth inning started with Jose Iglesias reaching on an infield single. All right, didn't hit the ball hard. Little bouncer over there.
He's made some great plays the last 2 days.
Well, we'll get to that play today that he made was sensational, right? He hustles down the line. Rocchio can't handle it, whatever. Infield single. Then the ball, next batter comes up Lockridge, and Logan Allen bounces one in the dirt. The ball must have got about a foot and a half away from the catcher, but Iglesias was already on second base. This, again, is great baseball. And things that you don't, we don't, they don't, nobody scouts about it. Nobody says in the preseason, you know, prognostications, boy, the Padres are good at taking an extra base.
Yeah.
But that's what you do to win games. He takes the extra base. That opens up first base, so Lockridge walks. Now there's first and second. Nobody out. Here comes Elias Diaz.
I think, yeah.
Whatever it is, I've yet to quite get it right.
I think it's Elias.
I think it's Elias.
Elias.
I really do, but I mess him up all the time.
He comes Mr. Diaz
comes up with first and second, nobody out. Now remember, he's your catcher. He batted cleanup for the Rockies last year. Now that is the Rockies, but my point is, he's not a great bat handler.
No.
This is not a strength of Diaz. Okay?
Not why he's on the team.
He's kind of a big slugging, lumbering guy, right?
Yeah.
Mike Schilt asked him to bunt anyway. Because there's first and second and nobody out, and he wants to get the runners to second and third with the top of the order coming up. Well, the first pitch, Diaz tries it, and he looks terrible. He bunts it over in the foul ground. Second pitch, he doesn't even try at it, and it's a strike. Now it's 0-2. You never bunt with two strikes.
Never.
You just don't, because if you foul it off, you're out.
Yeah.
So,
or they foul it off and they catch it, right?
No, if you foul off...
Period?
Oh, yes. If you foul off a bunt on strike three, you're out. You didn't know that,
Oh, I
huh?
didn't know that.
You
I did know that.
I'm sure you knew that. You just had a brain cramp.
Yes.
A senior moment.
Thank you. I am becoming a senior.
If you bunt foul on strike three, you're out.
I don't know why I thought it was if they catch it, but that's every play.
That's every play, yes.
Yeah, so you're right. I did know that.
Okay. So
let's erase that from the
memory. All right, so now there's two strikes, still first and second. You got lumbering Diaz up there. He can't handle the bat. Mike Schilt asks him to bunt again, and he does it. And it's perfect. And it gets the runners to second and third. To me, that won the game last night. Next guy up, Fernando. Fly ball to center field. That would not have scored the run had the runner still been at second.
Yep.
But since Diaz got the bunt down, 2-0. And then Arraez comes up with a clutch two-out hit. We already talked about how they're hitting 344. And Lockridge comes in. Now it's 3-0. Now you're on your way. That's why they're 7-0. I know you think it's because of Cease and King and all the big numbers that are putting up. It is partly that. But these little things they're doing so well. And they're things that you can continue to do. You know, the hitting, the home runs, strikeouts, things like that, they come and go sometimes in baseball. But good, aggressive, smart base running, executing a bunt, taking the extra base, Jackson Merrill beating a force at second, those things shouldn't go into a slump.
They're all effort plays, too.
I think so. So, anyway, Diaz didn't do anything at all on this homestand to speak of. In my mind, though, he won them a game. And I bet you in Mike Schilt's mind it's the same. I guarantee you Mike Schilt knows that that was a big moment last night.
Bunting is not an easy thing to do.
Not with two strikes.
Not with two strikes, for sure.
And he laid it down, and that, to me, was a big play.
I mean, that's, yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about it being the catcher.
Yeah, big lumbering guy.
Doing it with two strikes.
Nah, I thought for sure they wouldn't let him bunt. And later in the game last night, you know, they get three more steals in the, what was it, the seventh inning. That creates two more runs. Then in the eighth inning, Fernando makes an out but brings another run in. Leads us to this statistic. Another reason why the Padres are 7-0. So far, through seven games, whoever keeps this stuff, the Padres have managed to create 13 productive outs. That means you're out, but somebody scores, runners move up. You do something to help the inning along. Even though you yourself are out. They have 13 of those. Best in baseball. Nobody's got more. It's just another reason why they're doing what they're doing right now.
Yeah, they're putting themselves in great positions when they need to be in great positions.
They're executing it beautifully. Jason Adam last night was another part of my heroic night. The guy's automatic. He's absolutely automatic. Comes in with a couple of guys on. Ended up loading the bases there because
he hit
a batter,
yeah,
which was rare for him.
Very rare.
And then he just throws an absolute perfect pitch with the bases loaded to get the strikeout. Again, that was game over right there. Jason Adam. All right. A couple of notes on the scorecard today that I didn't touch on yet. Luis Arraez pop-up in the second inning that he doesn't come close to catching. Because it lands over here.
Yeah.
He's standing over here, okay? You could probably look at that and go, wow, that was a bad play. It wasn't. That ball was right in the sun. He did what he's supposed to do. And I'm not, again, I don't profess to be a know-it-all about baseball. I mean, I'm not trying to sound that way. But what I've been taught, and I think what every outfielder and infielder is taught, when a ball goes up in the sun, you take your glove. First, you got your glasses on, which he had on.
Yeah.
Then you take your glove. You put your glove immediately into the sun.
You do.
That's where you put your glove. Not to catch where the ball's going to come at the beginning.
Yeah.
The first thing you do is you put your glove to block the sun.
Find the ball.
Then you're able to hopefully find the ball. And then you go over to where it is. Then at the last second, you bring your glove and you catch the ball. That's how it's taught. Well, that's what he did. It was just impossible. And the right field, first baseman, you know, on sunny days like that, it's happened before at Petco. Yeah, it'll happen again.
Definitely will.
So, and then, you know, what I like, though, is Cease comes right back after that and strikes out the hitter. Basically says, I got your back.
Yeah, I don't
care.
You
messed up, but I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
You know, instead of getting all down and out, he said, I got you.
Don't Cease doesn't seem like that guy to begin with.
He doesn't, but this is what team work is all about.
Absolutely.
One guy, you know, doesn't make a play. Pitcher says, I'll pick you up.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. We saw it last night, too, or the other night. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, I know. Elias Diaz dropped a pop-up on a foul ball.
He did? Yeah, you're right.
He went over to the dugout, kind of had to twist his body around, and it fell out of his glove. So what? Kyle Hart just got the guy out. This is why they're 7-0. Another reason why they're 7-0. I thought one other thing to piggyback on how great Jackson Merrill is. In the fourth inning, when they broke the 0-0 tie, they got the double steal. That was one thing. But the next thing that happened cost Cleveland another run. And that was a bouncer by Manny that Ramirez backhanded, almost ran into the umpire, made a throw to first. Manzardo tried to dig out the ball.
Yeah.
Not a good play by Manzardo. First of all, he's normally a second baseman, and he looked like it. He's got to get down in front of that ball and block it and not allow it to get past him, because by letting it get past him, another run scored.
Yep.
2-0. Now what happens? What I think happens is that Ben Lively, who's been pitching great, but has now given up a run on a stupid throw by his catcher, which kill, and an error by his third baseman, I think Ben Lively lets down just enough. Jackson Merrill's the next hitter.
First pitch.
He jumps him.
Yeah.
He jumps him.
Yep.
First pitch. Now, it was a breaking ball. It wasn't first pitch fastball. It also wasn't located too well.
It was in a Jackson sweet
Merrill,
spot.
It was right there. But Jackson Merrill jumped him. Said, hey, this guy might be... I don't know what's going through Jackson's mind. But to me, if you're a pitcher, it's natural to have a letdown when your team lets you down like that. Jackson Merrill said, I'm going to make it 4-0 then. And, you know, bomb. There
he
goes
did
the
same thing last night on a breaking ball.
Well, this is it's wonderful to see. It's fun to watch.
I love that they're putting the pressure right on the team as soon as they need to. Because, like you're saying, with Lively, he's probably thinking, oh, man, I thought I got out of the inning. And now or I'm getting closer to get out of the inning. And now all of a sudden I'm staring at this. And so that's all going around in his head. And then he thinks, okay, throws the ball. Boom.
You can't lose your concentration.
No.
If you're Ben Lively.
Even for that little bit.
Right. And he lost it. In my mind, he lost the concentration just enough to hang a curveball right in the middle of the plate, and Jackson pounced on him.
I don't think people give, side note, I don't think people give pitchers enough credit for the mental warfare they go through.
These are the kind of things that I it was a long time ago, and I know I pitched at a totally different level, but these are the kinds of things that you would do during a game. And you would have to try to convince yourself to not let down after an error was made behind you. Because when you did, somebody'd make you pay. Jackson Merrill made him pay beautifully. The Iglesias play today.
Oh, man.
How about that?
OMG, Chris.
Thank you. OMG. When you first saw it, you thought, it's Manny being Manny.
It wasn't right? Manny, though.
If you weren't paying attention to the game, because Manny played today.
Yes.
But if you weren't paying that close attention, you know, you're up in the stands, you're kind of gibbering back and forth, you're kind of watching, you're getting a hot dog. You would have just thought to yourself, that's Manny again.
Because that's what he does every
time. That's what he does all the time. There's an old saying that's kind of funny in baseball. I don't know who came up with it, but I know it. And it goes like this. You messed up left field so badly, playing so poorly out there defensively, that nobody can go out there and play it now. The opposite is true with third base with the Padres. Manny is so good that even Iglesias can look like Manny when he's over there.
Yeah.
What a play that was. And give Arise credit, he came off the bag to catch and tag rather than trying to stretch. He may not have caught the throw.
We need
7-0. This is what you get with 7-0. You want to look, if you want to celebrate 7-0, we just did it for you for an hour. And I tried to give you every reason I could think of as to why they are. And there's nothing but positives. It's just been one great thing after another.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what the Doomers are doing right now, because the Doomers, they have nothing to doom about at the moment. What can they really doom about?
How about this? Braves just scored two in the top of the first off Blake Snell.
Doom about that.
2-0 Braves over the Dodgers.
And the Braves had a stupid base running error.
They could have had
more. They ran into the third out at home.
They could have had more. But at least they got two. We'll see if they can hang on. And the Padres, when they land in Chicago, maybe they'll be alone in first place. Why not? Everything else is going their way. Second hour of the program coming up. You got a big five
Wait,
in
no,
there?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to break.
No, but you got a big five.
I do.
Coming up.
I do.
I also wanted this programming note while I have a minute.
What is that?
Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., first of the year. The famous, and I mean, I'm talking like world famous. Like, they know about this stuff in Egypt.
They do.
Do people not overuse that term, by the way? World famous hot dog. Really?
Well, yeah.
Like, really? Hey, come on. But world famous Padre Roundtable tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So don't miss it. Make sure you're tuned in at 10 a.m. wherever you are tomorrow, because it'll be our first roundtable. We've never had a roundtable like this where we've had to talk about a 7-0 start. Woodsy is going to be beyond giddy. I don't know how to even control him tomorrow.
I'm making my debut.
You're making... Well, no, you did a couple last year.
I did
year.
One last year.
Okay, well, you'll be on tomorrow. Braden will be on. I'll be on.
I have an issue with...
Ben and Woods will be on.
Our food order, Chris.
Well, why don't you take it up with me in the break?
Okay, I will.
I don't think you should be worried about it. Okay. You're getting free food. What's the problem?
There's no problem.
Okay. Well, you said you had an issue with
it. I do.
All right, we'll find out what that is. We got a bonus hour of Gwynn and Chris, but don't forget the roundtable also tomorrow at 10.
I just think the energy, always. It doesn't matter if it's the energy from the fans or the energy from the team or the energy from the coaches or people outside the field. There's just always a certain energy, always a positive energy here. You know, I've never felt a negative energy. Even when we lose games, it's just like, how can you be so upset about where you are right now? You're playing in the big leagues. You're playing in San Diego. Like, there's really not much to complain about. So I think just Schulte always says that winners find a solution, you know, and that's what we do here. So that's what I want to keep doing.
Jackson Merrill, proud possessor of not only a two-run homer today, in a 5-2 Padres victory over the Cleveland Guardians, but also a new contract, 9-year contract extension, $135 million. That adds up to about $15 million per year.
I got some deets when you're ready for them.
What you got? Give me some
deets. It starts next year. His pay raise starts next year. So he gets paid $11 million next year. This is cash for him. $17 million the next year. Then in 2028, $25 million, and then he goes to like... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's really dumb of me.
What'd you do?
I was adding... Never mind. So in 2029, it kicks up from $9 million to $11 million, and then 2030, he makes $21 million through the rest of the contract. So it doesn't really get too crazy. His luxury tax, it looks like on SpotTrack, is going to be $15 million a year, but it's a team-friendly contract. It's absolutely a hometown discount.
It's similar
for a guy from Baltimore.
It's similar to what the Braves were able to accomplish with Acuna and Albies when they were younger, getting them to sign long extensions at what would be a little bit below market value had they waited until they could completely take advantage of everything. But if you heard Jackson Merrill earlier on this show, we played the clip. He said, look, the money's fabulous. Don't get me wrong. I believe what I'm worth, but it's not the only thing.
It's not.
Diego, you know, is playing here, the Padres. He feels good. He loves the people that he's playing with. Why not? Why go somewhere else? Why? He doesn't have to.
Someone asked me this morning, like, why?
He'll get by on the $15 million a
year. He'll be fine.
Yeah,
he'll get by. And endorsements and all that stuff.
Right.
But
yeah,
someone asked me this morning, why would he do this? And I said, this is a great move for him because he doesn't have to wait through arbitration. He can make a bunch of money now. And then when he's 30, he gets another contract in his prime. And so he can make even more money.
And I'm not in, I don't want to even think this way, but you have to go, and he'd have to go another, 4 years until he's out of the
I have that
arbitration
right here.
Thing?
He was under control until 2030 would be his first free agent year.
Right, so 5 years. A lot can happen between now and then.
And he wouldn't be making the same money.
You conceivably could get
in
hurt.
In each arbitration
you could,
year, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Not put up the same numbers for a couple of years. I mean, things can happen. Why wait? Why risk that?
I'm sorry, but the Dodgers are just kicking the ball around the entire park right now.
Well, we'll update the baseball scores in just a moment for you, including the Dodgers, who may find...
Watch this, Chris. It was a center field. Andy Pahes went back and just had it go right off of his glove. And Max Muncy has two errors. It's glorious right now.
Max Muncy, what about Max Muncy, did you say? What'd you
say? Dang it!
Oh, you're not ready.
I am ready.
Max Muncy sucks.
Yeah,
he's got two errors, throwing errors. The Braves now lead 3-0, looking for more. We'll give you the rest of the baseball in a minute. Daniel Schneeman, I mentioned him earlier, played second base today for the Guards. I said he went to Vista High School. I left out the Bonita part.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The Bonita Vistans were very
angry. Yes, I know. Thank you, Bonita Vista, for correcting me. Bonita Vista, he was a Baron. Bonita Vista Barons.
What is a Baron?
I'm not quite sure. Honestly, I'm sure you just got all the Bonita people mad at you again, but I don't know.
Because I don't know what a Baron is?
Yeah. When he was with Bonita Vista, they won the 2014... California state title. So pretty good.
Yeah.
For Daniel Schneeman, who was out there today for the Guards.
A baron is a member of the lowest order of the British nobility. The term baron is not used as a form of address in Britain, barons usually being referred to as a lord. The things we learn here on Gwyn and Chris.
Just beginning. All right. Final hour, bonus hour today. Padres over the Guards, 5-2. Indeed, they are 7-0. Indeed, the Dodgers are losing at the moment. It's, you know.
It's early.
It's early, but we can hope, can't we?
Blake Snell not in 40 pitches in the top of the second with only one out.
Well, that's because they're kicking the ball all over the yard.
That
is
true.
They've made two errors, and Pahes dropped the fly ball, which should have been a third error. 3-0, the Braves are out on top right now. Dodgers are 7-0 coming into the game. Diamondbacks are shutting down the Torpedo Bats tonight. 4-0 Diamondbacks, top of the eighth at Yankee Stadium.
Did you see what happened last night in that game?
I did. Yeah, Eugenio Suarez hit a game-winning grand slam.
Yes.
Hey, Eugenio's hot. He's got five homers already.
Yeah.
Phillies are beating the Rockies. That shouldn't count, honestly.
The Rockies have played okay.
What? They've got one win. And the Phillies are going to beat them again today. It's 5-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Earlier today, the Rangers shut down the Reds. Jack Leiter got the win. He's a youngster, 2-0, 0.90. He's the son of Al Leiter, former left-hander. Some guy named Skeens pitched seven innings today for Pittsburgh and beat Tampa Bay 4-2. Skeens is 1-0 with a 1.46 ERA.
Have you seen the social media posts going around about him?
What now?
It's a picture of him and his girlfriend and their dog. Like, it's in GQ, I think.
Okay.
But he just always looks like he wants to be everywhere else except for where he is in that moment.
Well, you know, Connor Joe, I thought, did a great job of breaking down Paul Skeens.
He really did.
Played with him last year, and when we interviewed, you know, he said, look, the guy's just a gamer. He's a good, you would like
He's
him.
He's a baseball player.
Right, he said you guys would all like him.
Yeah,
you know, we hated him because he was, you know, competing with Jackson Merrill, but he said everybody'd like this guy. He does everything right. He's a gamer. He's a good teammate. He works his butt off. And I think you're right, Scraby. He doesn't want to do any of this fluff.
No.
He just wants to pitch.
And
he's
so
pretty darn good
looking
at it. Brewers beat the Royals 3-2 in 11 innings today. The win was on a Bryce Terang walk-off bunt. Always happy to see fun stuff like that.
That's a preview of the Big Five. I'm going to ask a question about
okay.
that.
Okay. Ivan Herrera. Anybody know who that is? Unless you better be a true fantasy player to know that. Catcher for the Cardinals. Three homers today. He's the first Cardinal catcher ever to do that. Now, the Cardinals have been playing baseball for like 130, 40 years.
Yadier Molina was pretty good.
Man, not a home run threat.
No, you're right.
I'm just saying, I found that shocking that no Cardinal has ever, no Cardinal catcher. Ted Simmons was a good hitting catcher. Anyway, Herrera hits three today. Cardinals beat the Halos 12-5. Twins got the White Sox 6-1. The White Sox are, you know, they're 2-4. They're starting to trend in
starting to go back
in the negative
earth.
Direction.
What about the Marlins?
Did I get to them yet? No, I haven't got to them yet.
Oh, sorry.
Let me just do the scoreboard in order, will ya? The Blue Jays are beat the Nats 4-2. The Cubs, as we said, are pounding the ball. They got 10 more runs today. Seiya Suzuki hit a couple. Giants swept the Astros in Houston, 6-3 the final there. And the story is that the Padres are 7-0, the Dodgers are 7-0. Don't look now, the Giants are 5-1.
Get out of here, Giants.
Get out of here. We got the three best records in baseball all in our division right now. Mariners over the Tigers 3-2. The only note there, Tarek Skubal got the loss. He was 18-3 last year. He's 0-2 this year. So, you know, things change around. Here's your Marlins score. 6-5 Mets and 11 innings over the Marlins.
Man.
Mets rallied to get the win over the Fish. Pete Alonso clobbers a three-run homer for the Mets.
Clobbers.
I'm looking at the highlight here. And the Red Sox have finished it off. They've shut out the Orioles 3-0. The big story of this one, Rafael Devers, after going 0-for-19 with 15 punchies to start the year, today he has a double single. And he has an RBI, 2-for-4, to help the Red Sox. And Garrett Crow,
it feels good.
It had to feel good. You know what? Nobody wants to see somebody go through that much misery. The winning pitcher, by the way, was the newly rich Garrett Crochet. 8 innings, 4 hits.
Wow.
Struck out 8.
Wow, okay.
For the Bo Sox. So there's a little bit around baseball. Braves are still 3-0. Matt Olson, bases loaded, 2 outs. Come on, Matt. Give us a little help here. He's batting up against, Snell's throwing his 50th pitch, and he's not even through the second inning yet.
So. Are we familiar with this scenario? I think we might be a little familiar with Blake Snell with 50-something pitches in the second inning.
It used to happen from time to time.
And then at the end of the year, he's going to be at 50 pitches in like 7 innings.
This is going to sound wrong because Blake's our guy to a certain extent. He's at the Dodgers, so we don't love him as much. Blake Snell probably is, I'm not going to say it like that, he's probably the most difficult pitcher ever to watch pitch who's also won 2 Cy Young Awards.
Yeah, that could be true.
He is so painful to watch.
At times he is.
Yeah.
And then when he has it going, he is so fun to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, he's won 2 Cy Youngs. You would think he just mows people down all the time.
He's getting frustrated because the ump didn't give him a call, and he's got that look on his face like, oh, no.
He patted the helmet.
Oh, did you see that? I can't remember which team, but they were told that if they patted the helmet, they'd be immediately ejected.
Yeah, pretty sure baseball umpires are not going to want to see anybody patting the helmet because it'll show them up. Well, that's why Blake Snell's good. He just threw a 95-mile-an-hour.
We're holding
heater.
Out until this at-bat.
Yeah, we
got
to hold out here. 3-0 Braves. Bases loaded, 2 out. Matt Olson, pretty good hitter. Blake Snell, pretty good pitcher.
Lefty
good
on
matchup.
Lefty.
Lefty-lefty. Dodger Stadium. 3-2 count. Bases loaded.
Two outs.
This is exciting. Man, this is edge of your seat.
Atlanta Braves up 3-0.
Come on, Blake. Bounce one in there like you
the Geico Gecko's back
do.
There.
And fouled away, of course.
I don't know how long we're going to...
Yeah, we can't wait for another...
deliver on the other side.
We can't wait for 15 foul balls. We'll let you know what happens when we come back. Traffic as well. Also, big night in the NBA last night. There were some amazing performances that we should touch on. Scraby's Big Five is still ahead. Padres are 7-0. We're celebrating on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, I think AJ and I talked about it, too, when we were talking about a contract in general, is that my involvement with the organization is going to be a lot more. You know, I want to be involved in the minor leagues. I want to be involved in the community. I want to be involved in kind of everything that goes on. I know some stuff's out of my control and out of my reach, and it's not my business, but there's also a lot of stuff that is my business. You know, checking in on minor league guys is such an easy task. You can go on the MILB app and just look at stats, look at how people are doing. And it's also easy as just calling your boys or texting them, making sure they're okay mentally too. Like, it's not that difficult to be pretty involved.
By the way, Jack Samara will be hosting the show tomorrow. Want to get involved? Here's a microphone, kid.
Yeah, it's in your contract.
Why not? You know, I expect when Tony comes on the Zoom tomorrow, I expect Jackson Merrill to be sitting right next to him.
I believe we negotiated off days. Jackson co-hosts
all off
the
days.
Show.
Jackson's going to host the show. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's got the money and he's got the right frame of mind. If you're just tuned in, 9-year extension today, $135 million for Jackson Merrill. He'll be a Padre at least through 2034. It's a wonderful thing. Padres are also 7-0. If you're just getting off work today on your way home, another win today, 5-2 Friars, Jackson Merrill, 2-run homer. Luis Arraez, home run, solo shot. Dylan Cease, sharp for 6+. Bullpen finally gave up a run late in the game, but at that point, it did not matter. And the Padres, by the way, when they fell behind on Monday, I think Ramirez hit a home run in the first inning. The only time they've been behind in a game since opening day. And that was for like one inning they were behind.
I mean, everything.
I mean, they're not just 7-0. They're 7-0, oh my goodness.
It's dominant.
Yeah, it's 7-0, oh my goodness. So Matt Olson, while we were away, came through with a two-out, two-run double off Blake Snell. Braves 5, Dodgers nothing. Dodgers are batting. It's only the second inning. Don't get too excited.
It is only the second inning.
It's only the second inning. You know, we can dream.
Dodgers lose. The Padres are the only unbeaten teams, Paul.
They would be. You're wondering, I mentioned it earlier, but 13-0 is the Major League Baseball record. And, you know, I like to think about stuff like that. I know the players can't think about it. They got to, you know, focus on their next game.
I don't actually believe
that.
But I
like to think of stuff like that. I mean, if, you know, you don't get 7-0 every year, so I want to see, you know, what you got to do to make a little history. They've already made team history. Now they got 7 more. They could make MLB history. The only negative to what I said earlier is the 3 teams that have started 13-0, none made the World Series year.
That curse can be broken.
Sure it can.
There are people in the chat, Chris, that are saying, please stop telling us about this game. They have a DVR at home.
Oh, I should feel for you people because I'm just like you. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, to the people listening to a sports talk station.
I know. See, I wouldn't listen to a sports talk station if I had DVR'd the Dodger game.
They're joking.
All right.
They're trying to give you a hard time.
Oh, I see. Oh, I thought maybe I'd ruined it for a couple people, and I would feel badly about that. I did want to touch on, while we have a minute, and then we're going to go back to baseball and your Big 5 to wrap things up. Oh, goodness.
I know.
Just before we can even speak, Tommy Edman hit a 2-run homer. It's now 5-2. So, Dodgers are already beginning their comeback. Magoon Guath's decision to come back, or at least be back part of the San Diego State family. He's taken himself out of the transfer portal. He's still going to take a look, see what's out there as a, you know, potentially for the NBA professional ranks. But if that doesn't happen, he will be an Aztec again. And to me, this said two things. Two major things. Now, it said a lot of stuff. Two major things. One, Brian Dutcher does things the right way. He cares about you as a person before he cares about you as a basketball player. And as a person, I believe all of his kids understand that and get that and feel that from him. And he does everything right. And he's got a great character about him. Winning is everything, but it's not the only thing. Which is a little twist on Vince Lombardi's famous statement. Brian Dutcher cares about getting you prepared for life after basketball. And it's nice to see that at least in this case, that stuff matters. Secondly, you have to give the credit to the kid himself, Magoon Guath. He turned down a bag. As Tony would say.
Do we know what he turned down?
We don't, but we're sure that Kentucky or somebody else would have offered him more. And he did go to Kentucky. We know this for sure. One of the places he visited. The Aztecs are going to do what they can in the NIL to give him a good amount of money. But it's not what he could have made elsewhere. To me, showing some loyalty to the people that took a chance on you in the first place and helped turn you from a zero-star recruit into a potential NBA player, showing loyalty to those people, which is what he did, says a lot about the character Magoon Gwoth as well. So those are two things that I had to mention here. You know, too often, and you and I moan about this endlessly, the good guys lose out in the end. Dutcher is a good guy. He won this one, and I'm happy for that.
I'm a good guy, and I always lose out.
You do always lose.
This is Chris when he moans.
Name and logo.
I was moaning about that for a while. But anyway, that's great news for the Aztec fans. Magoon could be back in an Aztec unit. By the way, the Aztecs also got a commitment from a point guard today who went to Louisiana Tech. And he was the number three assist guy in all of college basketball last year.
So Nick Boyd, I'm not saying it's Nick Boyd, but he's replacing that position.
Yes, Nick, don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's not nice.
That's not nice.
But no, they have already replaced that position. And, so Brian Dutcher keeps that thing going. But the Magoon Gwoth news I thought was great today, along with the Jackson Merrill news and along with the Padres. 7-0
I'll try to we'll try to play this clip before the end of the show, but Jackson Merrill said the same thing you just said, Chris. The Padres were like the first team that really even scouted him to be a pro.
Right.
And he had already committed to Kentucky. Actually, we need to play. I'm going to put this in the Big Five. AJ Preller has an incredible story about the first time he ever went and saw Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, I saw that somebody mentioned that, but I have not heard the story.
It's so good.
So I want to hear it.
It's so good.
A couple of quick programming notes. I've got a minute here before the bottom of the hour. One, tomorrow, 10 a.m., it's the debut, this season's Padre Roundtable.
Yep.
I will join Ben and Woods. I will join Braden Surprenant.
Yep.
I will even be willing to join you. We'll all be on the Padre Roundtable tomorrow at 10 a.m.
I have no idea what to wear. I'm really nervous about that.
What you got? I like
just
that.
Just wear the Padre sweatshirt.
The $100 Padre sweatshirt that
it
you
is
overpaid
Padre
for.
It is Padre sweatshirt. That is for sure.
Wear your Padre sweatshirt that you overpaid for. You might as well get some. You might as well get some use out of it.
Chris, I've been replaying this whole thing in my mind 100 times because I did not want to spend $100 on a sweatshirt.
Yeah, you better wear it.
But the girl at the counter looked at me like I was such an idiot that I got flustered and I just bought it and left.
Yeah,
flustered. I was like, wait, can you check that price again? She's like, oh no, it says 98. This is the okay, it's fine. That's what I did.
And you said, why don't we just round it up to 100?
Yeah, right?
I'll give you a Benjamin and we'll call it even.
A Benjamin. I love it.
All right. So, yeah, tomorrow, first of the year. Remember, the Padre Roundtable starts at 10 a.m. Also, remember, brought to you by Roundtable Pizza, it's commercial free. We don't even take a break for a whole hour.
And we're playing the Roundtable at 5 p.m. for all the people who can't make it for the 10 a.m.
Good point. Yes, it's live at 10 a.m. Those who are, you know, in a meeting somewhere at work, you can't hear it. You can hear it on your way home. We'll play it from 5 to 6 also tomorrow. Correct. Tony will join us for a full, actually 3 hours tomorrow, 2 to 5, before we replay the roundtable. Padres are off tomorrow, so we'll have a full show. Tony will join us from Chicago. And then Friday, don't forget the manager's report with Mike Shildt. This Friday, 9 a.m., Mike will join Ben and Woods. The manager's report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. Oh, what a deal. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. I know that Mike Shildt lives for that manager's report with Ben and Woods.
He does.
It's a highlight of his week.
It's a highlight of everyone's week.
Yeah, it's a highlight of their week, too, for Ben and Woods.
I think, you know, Mike Shildt has come a long way with us, the radio station.
Yes.
Because it took a little bit. I can't speak for Mike Shildt whatsoever, but we're just a radio station. He can't give his secrets away to a radio station in the beginning. He has to feel us out first.
But Ben and Woods will ask for them.
Yeah, and they should ask for them.
They'll ask the hard-hitting questions. All right, so that's that. NBA last night, couple of notes that need to be mentioned. Jokic, 61 10-10.
Oh, my goodness.
Only the third 60-point triple-double in NBA history. They lost.
Russell Westbrook lost it for him.
Russell Westbrook.
That
a disaster.
Brutal. That was brutal.
How did he miss that layup and then fouls the three-point shooter?
Russ. He did everything he could for that loss.
So bad. Minnesota beat Denver in a great game last night, 140-139. Steph hit 12 threes last night. 52 points for him as Golden State, I think, beat Memphis. Steph Curry is starting to, defeat Father Time now at this point. Because he's now been in the league for what, 15 years, 14 years? Really? He's still as good as ever. And he did it again last night. One hockey note. We don't give you a lot of hockey notes, but this is worth giving you. Alex Ovechkin scores again tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. He is now two away from tying Gretzky, three from breaking the all-time goal-scoring record.
Wow.
Yes. He actually could tie him tonight. I mean, the game's still going. So, you know, he could get a couple goals in the third period. Who knows?
Steph Curry's 36 years old.
That's what I mean.
He's been in the league for 16 years.
That's what I mean. He's still playing like he's, you know, a kid.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's amazing. All right, we'll take a break. Scravy's got a big five. As our bonus hour of Gwen and Chris continues.
Potters were the first team that ever reached out to me, ever scouted me. They believed in me from day one. They tried to keep me under wraps. Like, I posted a picture on Instagram one time with an area scout. And he was like, take it down right now. Like, I haven't it. So, yeah, you know, they believed in me. They trusted me. And they wanted me, you know. And it feels good to be wanted, obviously. I think everybody in this room feels that. You feel wanted. Like, it feels good. So, I just feel like they always had a certain trust in me. AJ's always been there by my side, just rooting me on, being my biggest supporter. So.
And so it was that Jackson Merrill agreed to extend his contract for 9 more years, $135 million. With the Padres, they went out and hit a home run to help the Padres improve to 7-0 today. They beat Cleveland 5-2. Dodgers are trailing 5-2 to the Braves. They're in the fourth inning there. We got a big five from Scraby to wrap up our bonus hour of Gwen and Chris today. Before we get to that, real quick, Scrabe.
What's that?
My favorite people at ESPN.com.
Oh, gosh.
Ranked their top 100 baseball players. Top 100 today.
Of the league now.
Of the entire league.
Okay.
Right now. Any position. American, okay. National League.
Okay.
Top hundo.
Okay.
Four Padres made the top 100.
Okay.
Can you guess the four Padres that are in the top 100 for baseball?
Manny, Fernando.
Manny is 39th.
Okay.
Fernando's 15th.
Okay. Is he the highest ranked one?
He is. Two more.
Jackson.
Merrill is 23rd.
Whoa.
That's what they think of this guy. How about
I love
that.
I thought he was good. You were going to say like 72.
I didn't think he'd be 23rd. They put him way up there.
The last one.
One more. Padre in the top 100.
Let's just say.
So far, you're 3-for-3. Can you go 4-for-4?
Michael King?
Yes. Good
job.
Michael King, 58th. Very good.
Who's number one, Shohei?
Yeah, that's why I left that out, because I knew you'd just get mad.
Who's number two?
If I told you. You're like this. Bobby okay. Witt.
Oh, well, well-deserved.
Mookie, Aaron Judge, Paul Skeens is fifth.
Oh,
sorry.
God!
Sorry.
Why do we keep... Never mind.
Jose Ramirez, Yordan Alvarez, Juan Soto, eighth. A little lower than I would expect. Zach Wheeler, ninth. Tarek Skubal, tenth. Let's check traffic.
Oh, we have no traffic.
Oh, well, let's just get the big five then.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Someone's saying that Cease is on that list. Was he just lower?
Well, okay. Let me check it. The reason I didn't, I only looked up four is because they had a breakdown of how many were on from each team.
Yeah, I know what you're
and
talking
Padres
about.
And Padres say four.
Yeah,
so I found four. If there's a fifth, then they made a mistake.
Do control F and then type in his name.
I don't believe he's there because I looked at the
okay.
whole list.
All right, I believe you.
I'm pretty sure I caught the whole list. But while you're doing this, I'll take another look.
All right, let me get back to my dog. I got too many things open right now.
Yeah, C's 31st.
Oh.
So they messed up.
They did, yeah. I know what you're talking about because at the top they help you so you can like just...
Go to each player, right. They have four Padres. It says four, but there's actually five. So thank you for somebody pointing that out.
Trey.
Very good, Trey.
All right, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. At Robert Half, we found that 67% of companies want to increase contract talent. That's why our recruiters' expertise and award-winning AI work quickly to find the skilled candidates you want. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. All right, let's get into the first one. And it's not really even a question.
Number five.
But I do have to share this AJ Preller story because you know what?
I wanted to hear this. So.
You know what? AJ Preller has become, I don't want to say that he wasn't a human before, but AJ Preller's starting to show his personality a little bit. And he's starting to be more relatable. And here's his story about when he went to go see Jackson Merrill play high school baseball for the first time.
You know, in terms of like personally, I think it's, you know, I kind of think back to first time I saw Jackson play baseball, you know, I kind of was trying to sneak into to Severna Park area, see him on the road, not try to bring any attention to myself or mainly to Jackson. So I thought I had a good spot, road game. I was sitting in a football stadium a couple hundred yards away to watch Jackson play baseball. And it was like right after COVID, so a security guard came and grabbed me and said, you have to leave here. You can't be in this area. So I was kind of getting escorted out. All these people were like looking to see what was going on. And this one dad was like, hey, are you a scout? I was kind of like, not really, but I guess so. And he said, you must be here to see Jackson Merrill. I was like, no, I'm here to see John Smith, the shortstop. And he's right away, he said, well, that's his dad right there. Josh, come over. Come meet this guy. So then for 20 minutes, me trying to be incognito, I'm now talking to Jackson's dad and, you know, just kind of picking his brain about everything. And at the end, he's kind of like, what's your name again? I did one of those things. And so that was probably a bad covert mission. But I think the biggest thing that came out of that day from a couple hundred yards away, and I said this a few times, I remember calling Josh Stein and just saying that, you know, I probably saw the most competitive player I've seen in a few years.
So what I want to get at with this thing is that I think this just proves to me, Chris, and you as well, that when you show interest, like you said earlier, in someone as a human being, and when you're not just looking at them as cattle that you use to for your minor league system or for your team. AJ Preller, and that story is hilarious, by the way, that he got escorted out by a security guard because he was in the
stadium. Well, the security guard did not get him out of there, apparently.
No, he ended up talking to Jackson.
Yeah, he ended up talking to Jackson's dad.
But I guess in the time that AJ Preller has been here, how have you seen him change?
Well, that was he's more personable, probably.
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah, I think he's always been pretty personable. He does a good job, though, of answering questions without giving stuff away. I always give him kind of a hard time about that, but that's what he has to do.
Yeah.
I mean, his job is not to tell us all what his plans are, right? I mean, you know, so he does a good job, but he's always been, you know, fair and pleasant to us.
Yeah,
and I think most people. So, I mean, you don't keep your job for over 10 years without, you know, winning it all unless you're a pretty good dude.
I
think that's part
hard,
of why. He's,
yeah,
it's. I mean, you know, I remember before the Padres have had this success, this 4 or 5 year run, most San Diego Padre fans wanted to run him right out of town and didn't understand why he kept getting opportunities. So there was a time that
years ago.
That was the time. There was a time when that was the case, right? Now it looks like, you know, he's got everything on the up and up.
He does. He does, and I'm happy for it. AJ Preller, like you said, that's the biggest thing to me, is his personality is starting to show a little bit more.
That's a funny story.
He's a funny dude.
That's a funny story. I like it.
Because, like, we've stood there with AJ. We've been in a room with AJ, like, before interviews, after interviews, just kind of shooting the you-know-what. And he's a really funny guy. He has a good personality. And, like I said, I'm glad that he's
I think you just bring that out.
Oh, okay.
I think that's
I'll
just
take
you.
That, Chris.
Yeah, that's just you being you.
You know, I'm very jovial, and so people become jovial around everything.
Of
All
course.
Right. Eric Kratz. Is that his name, Eric Kratz?
It is.
Okay,
former catcher.
Yes, yes.
In the major
catcher,
leagues.
11 seasons.
11 seasons of totally nondescript baseball.
Okay.
I want to give
did
this
you
guy
watch
a
this earlier? Because I
No, but okay. I heard about it,
I
so
sent
go ahead.
This to the guys earlier, and I was wondering if he was a hot taker, and apparently he's not a hot taker, but here is his. He wants to do something to players that are caught with PEDs or caught doing steroids or whatever you want to call it. Here's what he says he wants to do about that.
They should start hitting you where it hurt. All that stuff, your awards should be stripped away. Why all of a sudden do we just let this slide under the rug? Jerkson Profar's still going to get his money. Minus 80 games, he still gets his contract. There's more than just it affecting the game and the outcome and the Braves now, because he led them astray saying that, oh, this was actually me. I just changed my lower half. You went and worked on your lower half with Fernando Tatis and his dad. Just come out and be honest. Let everybody be honest with what happened, because everybody that's ever tested positive, come out and say what it is. And if you don't want to say, to me, that assumes more guilt. They should start hitting you.
All right, you gave him way too much time. I haven't heard too many 209 hitters get that much time.
That was on Foul Territory TV, by the way, for everyone.
Whatever, that's fine.
I'm up first. Do you agree with him? Obviously, I don't agree with him. With the award being...
Well, what award are you taking away from Jerkson? He didn't have any awards.
All-Star?
What are you going to take it away? Say he didn't make it?
I guess that's what I mean. That's what he's saying, not what I'm saying.
No, I know. I'm trying to figure out where he's coming from.
But really, the whole thing, I don't like this video because he alludes to the fact that he went to work out with Fernando and Fernando's dad, and all of a sudden, he's alluding to the fact that there's something going on there.
He's trying to make a connection.
He's making the connection. And during the video, all they do is play Profar in Padres uniform clips. Which I also think is misleading. There was at least four or five games that he played as a Brave. They could have gone with those, but they didn't. So I think he's trying to make a connection that's not there. Chris?
What do you want me to say? He's got it. I have a saying here, but I can't think of what it is. So I'm just going to go with that's his opinion, and he's welcome to it. I think Jerkson got caught, and some of the other guys get caught, but I think it's a bit of a holier-than-thou attitude to be playing out there from a guy that, you know, is barely even a big league player.
Yeah, I can
he was in the league for 10 years. He had, like...
But then guys like him, I guess,
had an average of about 80 at-bats a year.
I guess guys like him could be mad because they could say, you know, that's the reason I didn't make it in the big leagues is that these guys are doing that.
Or maybe he took it too and just wasn't that good and never got caught. And now he's sitting
angry.
And now he's sitting back going, you know, these guys, blah, blah, blah. We don't know. I don't.
All
right. Seems like a holier than thou position to take, which I don't care for.
Okay. Number three. The NFL. We're moving to the NFL. The Browns finally admitted, Chris, that Deshaun Watson was a huge mistake, in which everybody's like, we knew. Michael Conforto just went deep for the Dodgers. 5-3 now.
Yeah.
Braves lead.
Yeah, Braves are going to not hold on. Go ahead.
But they're looking for a quarterback, I guess, in this next draft. And Tim Hasselbeck was on ESPN, and he was asked about Shedeur Sanders, and what he said about Shedeur Sanders really had people opening their eyes.
I agree with everything Sam said in terms of the strengths of Shedeur Sanders. He is smart. He knows how to play the position. I think where it gets really tricky is, like, you're talking about rarefied air when you're talking about drafting a guy at the top of the draft. And look, he just is not as physically talented as you would like to see. I mean, it sounds crazy considering he's Deion Sanders' son, but, like, that's just the case. And so, look, my comp on Shedeur Sanders has kind of been in that, like, Andy Dalton range. People have compared him to Kirk Cousins. Look, those are compliments. Both of those guys have thrown for over, you know, 250 touchdowns through their NFL career. Both of those guys have led teams to the playoffs. But, you know, when you're talking about the top half of round one, look, again, you're looking for elite traits. And
All right, so that's Tim Hasselbeck on ESPN. He compared him to Andy Dalton, which, again, is not the worst comparison of all time. But it's not a comparison I think
you
want.
Don't we spend most of our life making fun of Andy Dalton?
We do.
We kind of do.
The question here, Chris, is Shedeur Sanders going to be drafted for his last name?
No, they'd be idiotic. Much money on these organizations to make a mistake like that. That'd be idiotic. I don't know anybody, regardless of what Tim Hasselbeck said there, and he's not a big Shedeur Sanders fan, or doesn't think he's the number one pick.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know any team in football that doesn't think he's a top five pick. I haven't heard anybody say that, you know, no, he's not even a first round pick. Why are they? Let them take him in the first round. We don't think he is. Everybody thinks he's a top five talent. So he's going to get drafted in the top five. So I don't think his name has anything to do with it. Personally, I haven't been overly blown away by how great I think he is. I think he's good, and I kind of agree with Tim Hasselbeck. Andy Dalton's good. Kirk Cousins is good. They shouldn't have been the number one pick. And I don't think Shedeur Sanders should be the number one pick either. But I don't think he's going to he's not going to get chosen by the name. You're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to sign these people. You're not going to do it because the guy's last name is Sanders. That would be...
I get it.
Unless you're Cleveland and you want to just make another mistake on top of the last one you made.
And they're already the mistake on the lake.
That's right.
I don't understand why... You and I have said this for a long time. I don't see a first-round draft pick NFL quarterback in Shedeur Sanders, but I do see a pro quarterback in there somewhere. I mean, he has a really high completion percentage. He seems like he knows how to, he can learn the playbook.
He keeps plays alive, but he doesn't really run.
Would you rather have Brock Purdy or Shedeur Sanders?
Right now? Yep. Brock Purdy is more established. Okay, he's been to a couple Super Bowls. It's not even close.
Dang it.
Sorry.
Never mind. All right, let's go to the next one because we're running out of time, actually, now that I look at it. And number two is actually, it's been a... I think this might be the first time, Chris, I have ever seen this happen in a baseball game.
And Terang does square, gets a bunt down, here comes Dunn! He scores! A squeeze bunt walk-off for Bryce Terang! And the Brewers win 3-2.
All right, that was our guy,
Brian Anderson.
Brian Anderson, he's great. You know his voice.
He's kind of not our guy anymore. You haven't had him on the show in three years.
Well, it's because he's too famous now, and it's not his fault. I have to go through like seven layers of people to get to him now.
Well, have Tony call him directly.
Well, that could happen.
They're probably
buddies. They probably are.
Yeah.
But that was a walk-off squeeze bunt today in the Brewers game.
Yeah.
So my question, and I'm up first, what's your favorite kind of walk-off?
Best walk-off I've ever seen was done by a kid on the San Diego State Aztec baseball team. And I apologize for not recalling his name right now, but I called the play. Greatest walk-off ever.
Wait, say it. Start the story over again.
The greatest winning run I've ever seen scored was scored by a San Diego State baseball player.
Okay.
In the NCAA tournament. 12 years ago, 10 years ago. Something like that.
Okay.
Against UC Santa Barbara. Game was played up at the Lake Elsinore Diamond. UC Santa Barbara was the top seed. The Aztecs were the fourth seed in the regional. Game was tied in the ninth. Kid was on third with two outs. Stole home. Win the game.
That is pretty good.
Greatest winning run I've ever seen scored ever. He kept leaning. You know?
Yeah.
The count, I think, went to 3-1, 3-2. So the batter was up there for a while. And the kid on third just kept getting a little further off and a little further off. And I'm like, he's not going to try this, is he?
And he did.
So that's my favorite.
All right. I like that.
Because that was so unexpected.
Yeah. I was going to say something like one of those crazy plays where they throw the ball around and it's like inconceivable that you could win the game on this. But then they just keep making errors, the defense. But yours is better because you actually have a story behind it.
I got to give the Brewers what they did today. There's nothing wrong. A squeeze bunt's a terrific play.
I'm sure
especially to win
like,
the ball
Bush
game.
League, you can't win a game on a bunt.
There's absolutely nobody that would say that.
All right, last thing, Chris. Someone asked me earlier today a really funny question that I've never really thought of. Jackson Merrill got his contract and he wore a sport coat and a white T-shirt. What would you wear to your press conference?
It's funny I thought about it.
Really?
Yep, because I saw him and I thought, well... That's pretty good. I think for something this big, I might go like tailor-made Armani everything. Just one time.
Okay.
Be totally out of character.
That would be great.
But I think for Jackson Merrill, it hit him perfectly. It was perfectly for him.
We all know what I would wear.
You're wearing it now, I think.
No, well, black sweatshirt, jeans, and Vans. That's what I would be wearing.
All right,
that's it.
All right, Merrill. Merrill's a Padre for 10 more years. The Padres are 7-0 on their way to Chicago. Tony joins us at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Don't forget, roundtable at 10. And Ben Higgins just called me, said manager interview with Mike Shildt has moved up to tomorrow at 9.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. At 9. So at get 9. Up.